Welcome, everyone, to the Q&A session for our upcoming course, The Soul Evolution Intensive, the six-month journey to unveil your past lives to heal, clear karma, and fulfill your life's purpose. This is Lisa Bonice, and I'm really excited to be hosting this hour-long Q&A call for the Shift Network, where we'll explore the teachings of Dr. Linda Backman and address questions about her upcoming six-month course, The Soul Evolution Intensive, which begins next Tuesday, July 18th. Later, I'll explain how you can participate in this course, even if you can't attend the live sessions, but first, I want to introduce our guest. Dr. Linda Backman is a licensed psychologist and has been in private practice for over 30 years. In addition, Linda has received training in numerous traditional and non-traditional techniques, including hypnotherapy, between lives soul regression therapy, past life regression therapy, and shamanic soul retrieval. She's the author of Bringing Your Soul to Light, Healing Through Past Lives and the Time Between, and The Evolving Soul, Spiritual Healing Through Past Life Exploration. In just a few minutes, we're going to open up for your questions, but first I want to welcome Linda, who will begin our call with just a little bit of information about the course to get us started. Welcome, Linda. It's so good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It is great to be back with you as well. And I am honestly really excited about this course. I know there will be people taking the course who took a much shorter version that I have taught. And I also know there will be people taking the course who did not take the shorter version. Either way is great, and either way is absolutely fine. Anybody who did not take the first course, we will be covering all the basic foundation. I'm excited because this longer course is going to give us time to not only for me to share and teach about and really provide a lot of sense for people of my experiences over many years of guiding regression, but we'll be able to go much deeper into learning about how do we use our intuition, how do we access our intuition, which for some people takes time to learn how to do. We're going to focus on past lives. We'll have time to go in and work on discovering past lives and how they relate to life today. There's lots of pieces and parts. We're going to cover lives on Earth. We're going to cover past lives and why we have past lives, even not on Earth. I'm not going to list all the things that we'll cover, but we'll be talking about another fascinating and important aspect of who we are as a soul and why we come into body, and that is, what is our soul archetype? What's our soul nature or orientation that is essentially immortal lifetime to lifetime? So I'm not going to say any more at this point. There's a lot I could say, but I have the sense there are people with great and juicy and excellent questions, and that will give me the opportunity to give a lot more details. So, Lisa, I think I'm not only ready to, work along with you as the host again, but I'm ready to dive into questions.
All right. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this, too. For those of you who don't know, Linda and I actually worked together during the seven-week course. I hosted the calls. And I'll tell you what, we just scratched the surface. So I'm personally really looking forward to seeing what you have for us in the upcoming course. And as Linda mentioned, we have the rest of our time together to dive into you, the listeners' questions for Linda, as we prepare for the upcoming course. Again, it's called the Soul Evolution Intensive, and it begins next Tuesday, July 18th. And if while we're chatting you want to learn more about the course, you can visit soulevolutionintensive.com to see the full description. Again, that is soulevolutionintensive.com. Three words, no spaces between them. So let's go ahead and get started with the questions. If you have a question for Linda and you're calling in on the phone, you can hit star 2 on your keypad to talk to Linda live. Otherwise, those of you on the webcast, you can type your questions in, and I'll be happy to read them aloud. And we've got plenty of questions already waiting, so let's go ahead and get into it. You've already mentioned that it's okay for newbies to take this course. The first course was not a prerequisite. But we do have a question here. Actually, several people are asking this, but Francoise in particular is saying, during this intensive course, will we be able to regress ourselves and learn of our past lives?
Okay, good question. As all questions are good questions. I actually love questions because they illuminate information in all kinds of topics. So the answer is, the simple answer is yes. Obviously, the course will have me teaching a lot of content that I've learned over the years, and the course will have experiential work during each class itself, as well as we might call it homework and experiential work. And yes, I will guide experiential time to access past lives. And what I always say to people is, remember, if you will, that it's different in guiding a group, meaning I will guide you to discover scenes, important information about past lives, and yet that there won't be able to be, you know, during the regression itself. I obviously can't find out from each of you exactly what you're learning about a past life in order to help you deepen it. But what we will be able to do is, once we finish the experiential practical component of me guiding regression into past lives, we'll have the opportunity for questions and sharing. You'll all have many different ways of working together on what came forward. And the beauty of this course is that it's you know, a six-month period of time. So we get to work more as a unit, as a community, and go deeper in working together. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I think so. That'll be a really fun aspect and really informative. I'm looking forward to that as well. We've got a question here from Jeanette. She asks, how do we know that what we experience about past lives is true or just our imagination?
Yeah, great question, Jeanette. A common question asked of me. So when you, whether it's in the course or, you know, in between sessions in the course, or perhaps some of you taking the course have already begun to have snippets or even more than snippets of your past lives. So there are a variety of ways of validating, okay? So let me kind of list them off a bit. One way to determine validity is, how detailed is the information that comes forward? You know, how much, if you get a lot of details of a scene, meaning what are you wearing, what does your hair look like, what's that? I'm thinking about a past life I recently guided in working, and I have been working out of the country in the last few weeks. This woman had a white bonnet on her head, and she could describe the exact details of the bonnet. So amount of specifics of not just clothing, but what happens in the scene, what does the room look like, what does the outdoor scene look like, and then that leads me into another aspect of validation, and that is emotion. So all past lives don't bring up emotion for people, but in some cases, and this is moderately common, the client is moving along, discovering a past life, discovering details and the scenes, there's no emotion, and then suddenly there's big emotion. It might be joy, it could be fear, it could be worry, it could be any emotion, but suddenly it's there, when it wasn't there, you know, 15 seconds prior. That's another validation. Then another way to believe what comes forward is valid is, how well does the past life relate to your current life? And so I think probably everybody knows Discovering past lives is not just, oh, well, you know, oh, gosh, let me go see if I've ever, you know, I happen to be in France at the moment. Let me just go see if I had a life in France. It's, no, that's too simplistic. It's like, okay, if I had a life in France, what happened? Who was in that life? Can I even identify the, so let's just say I was a man in France and I had a wife. Do I have a sense of being able to identify the soul of that wife as the soul, let's just say, of my best friend in life today? So how well does the past life explain and connect with your current life? So those are ways to validate.
Okay. That's pretty fascinating stuff. And I appreciate that answer as well, because I've wondered the same thing. We've got a question here from Wendy. Again, many people are asking this question, but she puts it most succinctly. She says, are we doomed to repeat the rhythms of past lives, or can we break away from them and begin anew?
Aha. Okay, good. That's another wonderful question. Well, so let me say something sort of briefly about karma and dharma, which we will talk about a lot in the course. As a soul, we are required to evolve. The bottom line is, as a soul, we're required to go to school. And for the most part, our school or our learning or our evolution as a soul does not happen out of body. It happens when we're incarnate and basically for the most part, incarnate on Earth. So we come into body to grow. The lessons are learned sometimes through really, really intense challenges, or sometimes not through such intense challenges, but while we're in body. We're never perfect, okay? And so the bottom line is we make decisions, and sometimes the decisions we make during lifetimes are not the best action, let's just put it that way. We make mistakes. We are in human bodies, so we have free will. We make mistakes. That is how we incur or gather karma. When we discover our past lives, one discovery, and I want to be sure people understand there's a broader picture of what we discover. We do not always discover karma. We do not always learn we did something wrong. But when we have a past life come forward in intuitive work, in regression work, and if there's something that we need to balance and release in life today, like, let's just say, for example, to make it easy, in a past life, I was someone who didn't want to be a parent, or I was a parent, but I was not sufficiently committed to being a parent. I might be shown that in a past life. What are my guides and my higher self telling me? They might be telling me that it is not okay to choose to have children and be, you know, insufficiently committed, insufficiently involved. How do I balance that? How do I release that? By moving forward, having children, and being a committed parent. Now, I don't want people to start assuming that everybody should have children, because that is absolutely not what our guides believe. In some lifetimes, we are meant to have children. In other lifetimes, we're not. But the bottom line, the answer to the question is yes. By discovering areas of experience in past lives that were not the most useful choices, then in life today, we can balance that. And let it go. And I'll just add another piece as I'm chatting about that. some people, as probably most of the listeners know, some people have physical issues that relate to past lives. Okay? Some people have, I'll just come up with one quick example. There might be somebody who's had not a serious cough, but kind of a cough, a kind of a minor cough, off and on for years and years and years. No medical person can explain it. There's no, the person does not have any serious illness or you know, problematic physical issue. It can relate to a past life. Perhaps the person died from being strangled. Perhaps the person died of insufficient oxygen for some reason. Once we learn what caused the symptom, often then we can release the symptom and let it go. So that's another value of discovering past lives.
Right. I've actually heard a lot of, in my reading over the years, because I've always been fascinated by this topic, where a lot of people have, like, weight issues in this lifetime because they've perhaps starved to death in other lifetimes, so now they just can't get enough food. How often do you come across that kind of thing?
Yeah, that, you know, that is moderately common, Lisa. That's a great question. People who struggle with weight issues, and it can be, you know, kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, either wishing they weighed less than they do and they have trouble managing that, or it can be people with, you know, the opposite type of eating disorders. It can explain anorexia and that sort of thing. So that is often the cause, but since you brought that up, I'll also tack on that people with weight issues sometimes are, it's not related to dying of starvation, or it's not necessarily related to extreme poverty, where there was just insufficient food, you know, throughout the lifetime, but some people can struggle with weight issues because they, let's see how to say this so it's clear, because they came into body with, of course, purpose, because we all incarnate with purpose, but they were reluctant to return to incarnation because life on Earth sometimes isn't the easiest place. And so the individual is basically struggling to really be embedded in their body and embedded, if you will, on Earth. They're at times needing to be more grounded. And sometimes some extra weight is a way of trying to be grounded in their body and in their incarnation. So that's another explanation at times.
Okay, yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, if nothing will keep you in your body, at least maybe a little weight will keep you grounded down into it. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. We've got a question here from Shira, who says, are past lives in linear time or simultaneous in parallel universes?
Yeah, good question. Okay, so here's what I believe, based on client work, and I always want people to know that when I say, well, here's what I think is valid, it's not because I pulled it out of the air or, you know, I channeled the information. It's because of many, many years of guiding clients, I find repetitive information sort of, you might say, cross-validated from client to client. I would like to suggest to people that we live in body and we evolve in body in literal, linear, chronological time. That in life today, in our bodies, we are intending to evolve, you know, day by day by day, you know, so from July 12th to July 13th, you know, based on real time. Our guides support us and guide us in real time. There are many people who will say, well, past, present, and future is all happening at once. So why do we need to know about past lives, and why do we need to focus on our own evolution? I'll be honest, it is simply my perspective from years of client work. I believe that is not true. So are there other parts of the universe, other celestial bodies that also have some types of life forms? Yes, but I wouldn't call those parallel universes. I would call those simultaneous universes in our time frame. Like it is July the 12th here. It is July the 12th on a place called Sirius or the Pleiades.
Okay. Now, will you be talking about this kind
Lisa,
of thing
sorry
in the upcoming course?
To interrupt you for a minute. Let me just add another, as I finish that thought, I realize I think there's something else I could just add quickly that will give more clarity. So, and all these topics will be going into a lot of detail over 6 months, and the individuals in the course will be working on their own soul evolution, basically. So if we sort of take the concept of soul evolution and we elevate it to, you might say, a very high level, and I don't mean to make this sound so esoteric because it's really not esoteric. The way humanity will evolve is through each of us living our, you might say, soul contract or life agreements. As we evolve as an individual soul and body on Earth, we contribute to the evolution of life on Earth and the evolution of humanity. And I bet probably everybody listening to this Q&A would probably agree that we have a whole bunch of problems with how life has lived on Earth. So ultimately, it is about our individual soul evolution. It is about group evolution, meaning humanity's evolution.
Okay. All right, that's a lot to chew on. I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. But let's go on to a question from Jan. I know you're going to be talking about soul archetypes in the upcoming course, but let's go ahead and touch on it here. Jan wants to know, does your soul archetype change between lifetimes, or is it constant? Can it change within a lifetime? And how do initiations affect the soul archetype?
Oh, very, very cool question. And those are great words, initiation and all of that. Okay, so our immortal soul archetype is, we might say, permanent. It is the backbone of the orientation of our soul. We'll be talking in detail, of course, about all seven and how you can begin to nail down what is your soul archetype. All seven are equally important. They interrelate and they build on each other. And the answer is no, your soul archetype does not change within a lifetime or lifetime to lifetime. But what does change is that we also have a personality archetype, which is one of the same seven possibilities. And in order to reach a higher level of evolution, in order to become reaching the point of serving as a spiritual guide yourself, you have to gain capability in all seven archetypal energies. Your personality archetype is different lifetime to lifetime, and it can change within a lifetime. That is a possibility. I'll share more about this in the course. That actually is my story. My personality archetype changed probably over the last 10 to 15 years.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to learn about that part of it. A lot of people are asking about that. So, yeah, I think we've got a lot of interest in that specific topic. Let me just say real quick, if you're just joining us, we're here with Dr. Linda Backman, learning about her upcoming course, The Soul Evolution Intensive, which begins on Tuesday, July 18th. And you can log on to soulevolutionintensive.com for all the details and to register. And in the meantime, we're just having a really great conversation about such a huge subject matter. In fact, many, many people are asking about what about children who recall past lives? How often do you come across that kind of thing? And how can you tell if a kid is actually remembering a past life or just, you know, using their imagination?
Yeah. Okay. Let me say first, there is a beautiful book called, I believe this is the proper title, Soul Survivor. I think that's right. And some people may have already read it. It is a book about a, the person's no longer a boy anymore. I think he's probably 15 or 20 or 25 years old. But when he was, his name is James. James, when he was about 8 years old, could give details. He's an American child. He could give details to his parents of the plane he flew, his co-pilot's name, where they crash landed. I believe it's World War II, not World War I. I'm almost sure it's World War II. He had incredible details. James was actually remembering a past life. So, you know, if we think about a child that is 5 or 7 or 10 or even 12, why in the world would they talk about, you know, why would they kind of fictitiously make up past life information? So, yes, I have worked with parents who have children like that. I have worked with children who had spontaneous past life recall. And if the child is having spontaneous past life recall, there's a reason. There's a purpose. Either the child is needing to resolve something about that past life, or the child perhaps in the past life knew the souls of people that are part of the child's life today, and they need to understand the interconnection. Another example would be, I actually worked with a client, I think it was just yesterday actually, where this particular client in life today, this is an adult woman, oh gosh, about 50 years old or so. This woman is a very capable, productive person. She has struggled with extreme sadness for years and years, probably the bulk of her life. She has been very focused on working in areas of humanitarian trauma and helping people to recover, even creating how, you know, think about an example like the earthquake in Haiti, working in those kinds of humanitarian situations. We uncovered a past life yesterday for her. She uncovered, I'm simply the support person in the process, but she uncovered a past life where, I won't give all the details, but she uncovered a past life where she was in a situation where most of the people where she was died, and she was one of the very, very few survivors. She's been carrying survival guilt for a long, long time. Very intense. I'm hoping by way of the regression, she's begun to work with that and release that. But that is rather common. I would say to people who have children where the children may be making comments about past lives, just keep encouraging them by saying, "Tell me more." Well, then what happened? And, you know, rather than probing or pushing for the past life to be explained in more detail by a child, just ask open-ended questions. Well, how did you feel about that? Or, you know, was that a comfortable situation? Was that an uncomfortable situation? Which is actually part of the way that I guide regression work. So I'm not leading the client. I'm simply helping the client expand the information. But, yes, children do discover past lives. And, of course, children are so they're pure. They don't have all the baggage that we tend to have when we get older. So let them share what is coming forward for them.
Okay. Well, let me give you a specific question here from Lee while we're on this topic. She says, I feel my six-year-old daughter may be dealing with some past life abandonment issues. She's sad about going to college, not wanting to grow up and leave home. She's afraid of daddy getting old and sick. And it's heartbreaking to see such a young soul sobbing uncontrollably over these fears. How can I help lighten my little one's worries?
Yeah, wow. Well, first of all, if those are spontaneous emotions that don't seem to be explained in any other way, it is quite possible those are past life memories. Then the question is, you know, how does Lee introduce that concept? And that's always tricky. I mean, it's even tricky for me in, you know, people ask me what kind of work I do. And you know, I have to kind of use the smell test, so to speak. I have to like, how much do I say? Go slow. You know, be tentative. Like, you know, I wonder, have you ever thought that you could have had other lives? Well, what do you think about that? Or... If a reading a book about past lives is useful, that's another good way to help the person basically begin to consider that as an explanation. Then also, you know, the thought that comes to me, and I always know when I'm talking away, my guides are downloading stuff into my brain. It may be that Lee's daughter, or anyone, is sort of indirectly begging for some explanation, for some almost to, when I say to be rescued, I don't mean that Lee's mother or father or anybody else can rescue Lee, but to be given some plausible possibilities of what might explain those emotions that even Lee's daughter knows don't seem to have any substance to where they come from. And so I think then what happens is people start labeling themselves like, well, what is wrong with me? Why do I have these fears? What is wrong with me? Why do I have these anxieties? You know, I don't have any specific explanation in my current life. So I think, you know, that's really kind of weird and strange. And people start putting themselves down. So offering, sort of tentatively offering a possible explanation of past lives might come as a huge relief.
Right. That makes so much sense. Okay. We've got a lot of people asking about how do dreams help us to either remember or deal with past life experiences?
Well, I think they, my sense is dreams kind of, if you will, work in two directions. For some of us, our past lives show up in our dreams. So I would encourage people not to explain away information or experiences in past lives. In dreams, our past lives can, you know, very much be aspects of our, you know, coming forward in our dream state. And then I also say to clients, and when I work with people, it's like, okay, we've uncovered details of a past life. Now be sure you pay attention to your dreams because you might gain more information, more kind of expanded perspective about the past life in your dream state. And, you know, partly because, I'm sure everybody knows this, but, you know, in our dream state, obviously that conscious mind that sometimes gets in the way and that what I call the little professor or the monkey mind that we all have says, do you think that's real and why do you really think that? But that conscious monkey mind is usually, you know, pretty nearly shut off when we're dreaming, which is great because it lets information come forward. I'll also add, Lisa, because we'll talk a bit in the course about loved ones on the other side. And as probably most everyone knows, loved ones on the other side often come forward in dreams. So I would say to people, don't explain that away. Don't just say, oh, I just made that up because, you know, I got to have a conversation with grandma last night in a dream.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because there's a question here from Sally who says, if we have more than one family in this lifetime, which one do we meet on the other side?
Okay, so I'm assuming what Sally might mean when she says more than one family. I'm wondering if that means somebody who was adopted. And, of course, I'm not totally sure what Sally means by that. We can meet anyone on the other side. So, yeah, this is a big question. This is a big topic. We'll be going into a lot more detail in the class. Boy, how to make this simple. So, all right, let's just say the question is about adoption. So Sally had a birth mother and a birth father, and theoretically, and Sally had adoptive parents. Or maybe Sally even had foster parents and then adoptive parents. When we cross over to the other side, we can connect with any and all of these souls. So it makes no difference when we're on the other side. Who we connect with is who we at the soul level wish to connect with, and does that other soul or do those other souls wish to connect? So it's just a choice at the soul level as to how that works. But we'll be talking in the course about, you know, what I call a soul pod. We incarnate in a small group of souls, and it's usually 10 to 20 souls. We'll be talking about how's our soul pod determined, how do we sort of figure out who might be in our soul pod, does our soul pod change. We'll be discussing that sort of thing during the course itself.
Okay, perfect. That actually answered the next question I had for you. People were asking about coming back in groups. But this is similar with sort of a branch off into a different topic. There is no name attached to this question. But the question is, it's been said that groups of souls reincarnate together, but in different roles and genders. For example, is my niece my deceased mother, or is she still in spirit? And if so, how can deceased loved ones from our current life and generations past be channeled from spirit if they're embodying a current physical body?
Yeah, good question. That's a common question and a great question. Okay, so there's some basics. And obviously, in the beginning of this course, we're really going to go over a lot of the basic kind of foundation of why do we incarnate and how do we choose our parents and how do we choose where we're going, you know, are we going to be born, you know, Linda happens to be in France right now, are we going to be born in France, are we going to be born in Iowa, are we going to be born in South Africa, all those kinds of things are determined. But a key, really important understanding of incarnating is that, I'll use myself again as an example. Okay, so before I was born as Linda, I created a plan for my upcoming life. And I'm leaving out a lot of details about why that plan, and I don't want to get this answer too complicated. With my guides, together we agreed to a plan for my upcoming life. When I got ready to be born as Linda, I brought, and I always like to call it, a slice of my soul pie. So if you think about your soul like a pie, when you get ready to come into body, you bring a slice of your soul energy and it comes into your body and causes you to breathe at birth. The remainder of your soul energy is your higher self. So when we come into body, we bring a slice of our pie, but our higher self is the remainder of our soul that is in spirit at all times. So even if my father, who's on the other side, reincarnates in 2 years, I can still connect with his soul because he has a higher self. Yeah, does that make sense?
All right. It makes sense to me. I hope it makes sense to our anonymous questioner. And if not, we'll be talking about that a lot in the next 6 months. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, we have time for a few more questions, but before we get to those, let me give a few details about the course because people are asking about that as well, so let's go ahead and just do that. Again, the name of the course is the Soul Evolution Intensive, and this is going to be a really amazing six-month journey under Linda's obviously expert guidance, where you will explore your soul's journey in past lifetimes to shape your current life and future lifetimes, and to uncover and clear your karmic patterns and illuminate your true purpose for this life. And the six-month course takes place on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time, starting next Tuesday, July 18th. And if you can't join us live, that's fine. We're people all over the world. You're not able to be there at 5 Pacific time. But you won't miss the teachings. You will receive audio recordings, transcripts, and all course handouts on your course homepage. And I'd also like to remind you that we offer a no-risk money-back guarantee on all of our courses, giving you a full 2 weeks, and that is until August 1st in this case, to make sure that it's a good fit. We want to make sure you're happy. And also, as a really awesome special option, all participants are welcome to connect in a private Facebook community group so you can stay connected with one another, and Linda also participates in that group as well. And in addition, everyone who registers receives the Soul Evolution Intensive Bonus Collection. And the first bonus is a video from Linda entitled Past Lives and Soul Agreements and Life Today. And you will also receive a guided meditation from Linda. That's an audio called Connect with Your Spiritual Guide. And you will also receive a video with the amazing Stan Groff and Richard Tarnas, and that's entitled The Use of Archetypal Astrology in Psychedelic Therapy and Holotropic Breathwork. And when you register today, Wednesday, July 12th, by midnight Pacific time, you will receive an additional bonus, and that is an audio dialogue with Terry Patton and Thomas Hubel entitled The Esoteric Anatomy of the Heart. So, lots of good stuff there. And let me ask Linda, before we go any further and take any more questions, what are you most looking forward to sharing in the upcoming course?
Lisa, that's a great question. What am I most looking forward to? I would say the content about soul archetypes is one, you know, this is going to be a complicated answer because anybody who knows me will know this is a part of my nature. Trying to narrow it down and say there's one thing seems kind of hard. So, you know, what I'm most looking forward to is really helping people to deepen their awareness of who they are as a soul in body. Because it's interesting. The first course, the 7-week course, was great. I found that people wanted more time to strengthen and deepen their understanding of how to really be intuitive and how to trust their intuition. So I'm really excited about being able to work with people and helping them strengthen and trust their intuitive receiver abilities, we might say. And then, you know, from a content perspective, talking about soul archetype, I'm also going to talk a lot about the difference and the purpose for having most of your lives on Earth or a lot of your lives not on Earth. Now, there are some people who go, oh, really? Is that possible? And then there are other people who go, oh my gosh, I'm so relieved. Linda's going to talk about that because I've believed that for years. So I'll be sharing a fair amount about Earth lives and lives not on Earth and why those souls with lives not on Earth are here now and what they bring, the gifts they bring to our human culture.
Yeah, I noticed that as well during the 7-week course that when you mentioned interplanetary souls, I could feel people's ears perking up, like, oh, hey. So that's definitely something that people were fascinated by. So we're looking forward to hearing more about that.
Totally.
So back to the questions here, because we've got so many of them. This is a question from Rick, and he seems to be referring to the conversation that you had with Stephen Dynan last week. He says, since you spoke of new souls, is it safe to assume that there is not a finite quantity of souls? And if not, when a soul completes its journey, what do you believe happens to it?
Well, let's talk first about finite number of souls. I do believe that there are times that new souls are being created. So that's one answer to the question. I will also talk a bit about split lives, which means a soul can be incarnate in two bodies simultaneously on Earth. We'll talk about that. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, the population is increasing. How does that happen? Well, we can have more than one embodiment, we might say, simultaneously with purpose. So always want to add that in, with purpose. Basically, the purpose of evolving is because as we grow and learn, we become teachers ourselves. And as we grow and learn, we become spiritual guides. So we're not just like, okay, I have to grow on Earth, and then I reach, you know, a certain level of soul evolution, and then I get to be done, and I get to float off into Never Never Land, and I get to just be free, and I always say, and eat bonbons and watch TV or whatever. The bottom line is, no, that isn't what happens. We take on responsibility as souls in the spiritual realm. Souls have commitments in the spiritual realm, and essentially those are guides in the spiritual realm working to guide us to continue evolving. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I hope that makes sense.
As anything
lots of
else.
Complicated
It is. And we have limited time to go into it. So, so I'm sure you'll address this kind of thing much more fully in the next 6 months. Now, here is a question that this is a really unique one. And I don't know if you're going to be able to answer it, but it's so fascinating to me that I want to know what you have to say. This is from, and I apologize if I mispronounce this name. It looks like it's pronounced Sukanya. And the question is, I often have the same violent image repeat. Is this from a past life or something yet to happen? It feels very real during that split second, and it's most often when I'm awake with all my wits about me. Do you have any comments on that?
I'll give an educated answer that is my sort of hunch about that. I don't honestly think we would likely have a premonition of a violent event. That just doesn't, you know, I'm just using my intuition. My guides work with me at times when I'm answering questions. So my hunch is, if it isn't tied to current life, which I would assume it's not, my hunch is it's past life. And we certainly can have had violent experiences in past lives. which actually, Lisa, makes me want to be sure that I explain so that people don't think, well, discovering all our past lives is horribly difficult and we had painful situations or, you know, something was quite complicated. We also have past lives of accomplishment. That's where we get the word dharma. Dharma means soul intention. At times, our guides want us to know about our accomplishments in past lives. So that as we discover past lives, sometimes we learn about accomplishments. I'll give a quick example. I love to sing. I have loved to sing my whole life. I sang in choir all the way through high school. I've really never done, except, you know, in the car, in the shower, I've not done much singing since then. But I've always had this fantasy about really being able to do a really good job and perhaps, you know, sing in a performance manner. I'm not going to do that in this lifetime. I discovered through uncovering my past lives, I've discovered more than one life where I was a person who performed as a singer and had a certain level of accomplishment. And it's like, oh, okay, now I get why I have that inclination. So you would call that dharma as opposed to karma.
Okay. I also I want to comment real quick on what you were saying about premonitions of violent events. It seems to me every story that I've ever heard of somebody having a premonition that saves them from something, it's not that they have an image of something horrible about to happen. It's that somehow they just decide not to go, or they miss their flight, or it's more like something very mild and bland happens to keep them from experiencing that. Is that your experience as well?
That is my experience. You know, it's sort of like, okay, my experience with people having premonitions is either what you've just explained, Lisa, without repeating it, or something happens like there is a crash of two cars in front of them, but everyone's okay. You know, it's usually not like a premonition of something terrible happens. So as an example, you know, there are a lot of people who will say, well, you know, when I was 12 or when I was 14, I started worrying for no reason that I understood. I started worrying that I was going to die when I was 42 years old. When I got to be 42 years old, nothing happened. And, you know, now I'm 52, and I'm fine. It's probably that they died in a past life when they were 42 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I add, Lisa, as you're picking through questions, I just want to say one quick thing as you're thinking about which other questions to bring forward tonight. I say tonight, it's probably not night for everybody. someone asked me, I gave a presentation the other night, a couple evenings ago actually, in Geneva, Switzerland, a really, really beautiful place. And I talked about a lot of the content that I'm talking about now. And a man came up to me afterwards and said to me, but Linda, you didn't talk about love. Linda, why didn't you talk about love? And I thought, oh, wow. You know, that really got me to, you know, to thinking a lot. And so I said to this gentleman, I said, well, absolutely, positively, the concept of love and, you know, love, we need a better word because, of course, I'm not talking about, you know, a specific type of love like a parent loving their child or a romantic partnership or two friends loving each other. You know, we're talking about love in a much bigger way. And so I said to this man, I said, of course love is important. Of course love is the key. But I said, it's not enough because nothing will change on our planet if we don't have what, again, really isn't explained very well through the word of love, if we don't have an equality-based culture where we accept all people as equal. Now, we could call that love, but we don't have it sufficiently on our planet. So in order for humanity to evolve, we have to be active members of our culture, building society. There's a zillion ways to build society, and you know, we can talk about that in the course. But so love is just simply not sufficient. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, let's follow that up with a fairly deep question here. This is from Dee, who says, how to understand grief of the untimely death of someone who you believe is your soulmate? Do the departed souls try to stay around for fixing their unresolved karma, and do we see them in our life between lives regressions?
Ooh, wow. Well, boy, that's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, as humans, understandably so, we have this impression that why doesn't everybody live to the kind of statistically expected, you know, lifespan? And, of course, that doesn't happen for everyone. Oftentimes, people die even if they're really young, and I do not mean to minimize the death of children or the death of people at young ages. I have actually done a lot of grief counseling and grief work with people and have had some of my own personal grief experiences surrounding death of children. But oftentimes, people die when their either life contract is complete. They sometimes die when it is time to work across the veil, to cross over to the other side and work with their loved one, sometimes work with a soul close to them who's still in body on earth. So, you know, this kind of work that I do and all these topics that we are going to work on deeply in this course, they're huge topics. They're not always easy topics. So we'll talk about grief. We'll talk about what might be the whys and wherefores of someone important to us who passes. We'll also talk about how do you connect with that person who passes? How do you stay in touch with them and work across the veil? But the course really is about understanding life from a soul perspective, not simply a human perspective. But I don't mean to minimize anyone's grief. I've gone through a number of personal intense grief experiences.
Right, of course. Well, gosh, I'm looking at the clock here, and we are about out of time. This has been, as usual, just a fascinating hour with you, Linda. We could talk for 6 months, and we're about to. I want to
thank
everyone.
I think we will.
We will. We're about to. We're about to start next week and go through December. I want to thank everybody for being on the call with us and for all of your fantastic questions, because without those questions, Linda and I would just be sitting here talking about her trip to Paris. So thank you for all of your great questions. And Linda, thank you for calling in from France and for sharing all of your vast experience with us. Once again, the Soul Evolution Intensive starts next week, Tuesday, July 18th. And again, you can visit soulevolutionintensive.com to learn more and to register. So before we go, Linda, do you have any final words for our listeners?
Well, you know, I would just say to everyone, please come join us. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of experiential. I want to try to do as much working together. You know, you'll have the Facebook group and that sort of thing, but we'll have time to share during the course sessions themselves, which was harder in the shorter course just because of how short the course was. So Come join us. Let's work together. It will enhance your life, and I really believe it will enhance life moving forward in our culture, and everyone will be able to, you know, not only deepen their own perspective of why are they in body and how do they deal with circumstances in their life, and we'll be digging into challenging circumstances, relationship issues, health issues, that sort of thing. So I'll be back in the U.S. actually in about 24 hours. Although I know we have people in the course from all over the planet, which is great. And I'm just excited. So come join us and expand our spiritual community.
Fantastic. Wow.
And Lisa, thank you to you. Thank you to you. I'm so excited to, you and I get to go deeper together working with each other. So that will be really, really great. And rich and productive.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And I hope you all join us. Once again, thank you, Linda, and thank you all of you who joined us today. And on behalf of all of us at the Shift Network, I wish you well and look forward to having you on this course or perhaps another one in the future. Have a great day, everyone.